Thanks for joining me today on CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, and today I think you'll be inspired and you'll be challenged by the life story of a surgeon that we honored earlier this year at our national convention as the Missionary of the Year 2021. His name is Dr. Jim Radcliffe, and he served together with his wife, Kathy, with the Nazarene Church in Papua New Guinea for nearly 4 decades. This interview was a huge delight for me because I've heard about Dr. Radcliffe's work for the last quarter of a century, but until this interview, we had never crossed paths. Let's listen in to my conversation just a few weeks ago here in our Bristol studio. Well, this is a unique opportunity for me because we actually are in the middle of our CMDA National Convention 2021 this weekend. And every year at the National Convention, a number of awards have been given out over the years. Nominations are presented to the board and in several categories, category of Servant of Christ, category of Educator of the Year, often a President's Heritage Award, but a fourth award is the Missionary of the Year Award has been given out every year at the National Convention. And this year, the award went to Dr. Jim Radcliffe. And last evening, in our opening plenary session, we had the opportunity to see a short video looking back over the life and legacy of Dr. Jim Radcliffe at Kujip Hospital in Papua New Guinea. For anyone who pays attention to medical missions and missionary medicine, the name of Jim Radcliffe is well known in the land down there, down under. So have an opportunity to have my guest in the studio with me today because Jim and Kathy came for that award. So welcome to CMDA National Headquarters, Dr. Radcliffe.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, when were you notified? When did you find out about this award, Jim?
I think they tried to keep it a secret and then COVID kind of crashed the secret. So our kids, I think, had known about it and were trying to just make sure we were going to be here last year. And then we kind of had to find out.
Well, last night I just briefly got to talk, so I'm very excited to have this opportunity to have you just one-on-one myself to chat so our CMDA listening audience can get to know you just a bit better. You actually retired, I'm going to put that in quotes, retired 3 years ago, is that right?
Yes, from the mission field and then came back and worked at a small community hospital in Coshocton for a couple years until I developed an ulnar nerve paralysis.
Wow.
In my dominant hand.
How did that develop?
From entrapment in Guyon's triangle right there in the base of the hand and had surgery to release it, and it drastically improved. I don't know whether I'll be able to really operate again or not. I'm going to find out next month when I go back.
Did you have symptoms all those years in PNG?
No, I'd had bilateral carpal tunnel release by my son in New Guinea. When he was there, both
No pressure, Ben.
As a resident and then again as a staff member with us when he was with Samaritan's Purse World Medical Mission post-residency fellowship. There was a hand surgeon there one time and an orthopedist the next time that they did it together. But then I developed the new ulnar nerve paralysis last year, and that seemed like a good time just to stop.
And your work exacerbated that or no?
I think maybe. I blame it on the colonoscopies and all the torquing of
yes.
the hand, but I don't know. It might have been something else unrelated. I feel like it was God's timing.
Wow.
to say you've done this enough and to do some other things.
And you've known him to do good things in your life. He's not trying to punish you or anything. He's got something better, I guess.
He always has, and I just trusted him and even praised him for it because can do some other things now. Right now, I've been giving COVID vaccines with our health department in our county, so that's been my new gig.
Okay. Well, let's go back to the beginning. How did Jim Radcliffe feel a call from God and get interested at all in medical missions?
Well, I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was a church pastor, Nazarene Church, and so we would always have the missionaries eat with us and stay in our home, and I can still remember the huge, long boa constrictors, snake skin on the altar after the missionary talked, and I went up and felt in the bullet holes that went through the skin. I thought, yeah, this is the life for me. And also reading missionary books as a child really impressed me, as a child and a teenager. And I testified to that call when I gave my life to the Lord at age 8. But then again in high school, God definitely, during a youth camp, a missionary came and spoke, and I have no idea where he was from, what his name was, or what he said. But as I watched him speak, the Lord was speaking to my heart saying, this is what I want you to do. Mm. And really felt God confirm that. In college, I went on a short-term missions trip to Guatemala, and I was following this pastoral missionary around from my church. And when we would get to a sick villager, he would just reach in his pocket and pull out a handful of antibiotic pills that he kept in a baggie. And I remember praying and saying to the Lord, if you will get me into medical school, you and I can do better than this. And then God really dramatically helped me to get into Ohio State University. And during my last year there, I went to Papua New Guinea with a grant from Reader's Digest and MAP International.
Yes.
Spent 10 weeks and just loved it. What really impressed me was the difference Jesus made in the lives of the people we were working with there.
Had you been introduced to spiritual ministry here in the States at all? Or was it only when you first went to PNG you could say, hey, I can do, or your experience in Guatemala?
Well, those were introductory and confirmatory. It's just a series of how God confirmed the call that I had felt, I had read about, I experienced, and then actually going those two short terms really confirmed it. And came back and didn't know what kind of doctor I wanted to be. First, I thought I wanted to be a family doctor. And then as I got advice, even from a dean, I don't even think he was a Christian at our medical school. Mm. He said, if you're going to go overseas, you better know how to do emergency procedures. You ought to go into surgery. Mm. So I decided to do that and just loved the extra rotations I took in my senior year. So got into the program there at Columbus, and they actually kind of tweaked it a little bit so I could do some general medicine my first year, and I could do extra OB-GYN and actually do C-sections when I was on that service. So they knew all along what I was going to do, and they partnered with me to make it happen.
I've known a lot of medical missionaries over the years, and one thing that seems like they all had in common, there were periods of time and some times when they just wondered, did I really hear God's call right? Did that ever happen for you?
Sure did. Variety of things. The work can be really intense, can be some long nights. Tribal fighting for us was a great problem. Sometimes you're short-staffed. There was a short period where for a few weeks I was the only doctor there. And so I'd actually make rounds on different parts of the hospital different days and use the nurses to try to help me. Sometimes administrative changes or shortages would get to you. But God always spoke to me in those dark times with two questions. What did I ask you to do? And I would say, I think you called me here to help heal people and give them comfort and to pray with them and introduce them to you. And then I felt God would always give me that second question. He would say, can you still do that? And I would say, yes, Lord, there's nothing preventing me from praying with patients and giving them your healing touch. Mm-hmm. So then the third comment came to my mind, well, get on with it. Just like Nike, just do it then. So sometimes when I would complain, I felt the Lord talking to me like that. As we would come home the different years for furlough, every time as we would pray and continue to ask God for confirmation, he would give us a new covenant promise. Just a dramatic covenant promise that we would hold on to for those next 4 years or 2 years. Mm. So God was faithful in that calling.
I heard you mention last night that CMDA was involved along the way, was a help to you. How did you become involved in CMDA?
The first time was in medical school at Ohio State University. There would be little luncheon meetings. And that was my first taste of it. Actually had an opportunity then on a couple furloughs to go back and speak at OSU to those student groups on furlough. And that was great. In my residency, I kind of didn't. I don't know if there was anybody at my hospital that was a member.
That's a very common story.
There wasn't a lot of extra time.
Right.
And then when we got on the field, we heard about these tremendous inspirational CME conferences. And I'd actually run into difficulty because back in those days, there weren't as many online opportunities for getting your credits. And even though I was reading about the diseases I was treating in the procedures, I wasn't getting CME for that. So it actually had my license be threatened by my lack of CME hours. And what a blessing it was to go. In those days, it was in Malaysia. and to meet with all these other people doing the same thing. And man, I got every credit they offered that year. And so that was a real blessing each time we went.
Well, for good reasons, it's not widely promoted and advertised that that particular activity of a particular commission is associated with CMDA because of some of the places where people serve, not so much for where you served or where I served in Kenya, but it has to be. But it is our oldest commission. Actually, it's the oldest ongoing commission to help missionaries, global healthcare workers around the world every year in different places. And so incredible, powerful ministry.
It was a special refreshment to us. So you're getting some physical break and emotional break from the rigors of the work. You're getting continuing education. And it was great that people that really were at the top of their field, they're at the top of their game coming to present to you. And each lecture, they would tweak a little bit because almost all of them had been somewhere overseas to help. And they would say, now, in your situation, you might have to do this. Yeah. And then the spiritual enrichment was just tremendous. 500 missionaries singing the hymns of the faith together.
Yeah, the first time I was with 300 African missionaries there at Brackenhurst in Nairobi, I just wept because they love hymns. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems medical missionaries and hymns go together, don't they?
Yes.
Well, what does it mean to you to be able to join previous CMDA members who have been honored? It's a who's who list of medical missionaries, and now you've been added to that Hall of Honor as Missionary of the Year. What does it mean to you, Jim?
Well, Kathy and I both really were humbled by it. Not that we feel deserving, but we wanted to receive it to honor those who went before us at our particular hospital and all over the world. Many people that never got a book written about them, never got an honor, but served faithfully. So we would like to receive it to honor them and to give praise and honor to God, who was our great enabler, who opened up the doors for us to get the training, and then who enabled us to stay. And then we really wanted this to be an opportunity where we could encourage other young people just starting their career, consider a life in missions. It is a great way to raise a family. It is a wonderful way to practice your skills. And it is really a rewarding life.
Well, Jim, I want to have you to be the first one in my presence to hear about this, but I want to also want our listeners, because a number of retired missionaries or former missionaries are out there listening. We now have been given permission by our board of trustees as of this week to be able to use some funds. You know, over time, things change. You know, we had one of my heroes who launched Tenwick Hospital a number of years ago, Ernie Story. We've actually had Dave Stevens started the Ernie Story Scholarship, which paid for medical school for those wanting to head for the mission field. Well, now there are other programs out there. It just seems like those who are really serious don't necessarily need that program. So what we have done is the remaining funds, part of those funds are available for missionaries just like yourself, whether on the field now, but home for homeland assignment, or like yourself, not long ago missionaries, able to have their expenses covered to travel to the schools, hospitals, where we have student groups, resident groups, to go and share your experience and to raise up another generation of harvest workers.
Wow, we'd love to do that.
Well, I'm glad you're hired. I know the guy. I know a guy. Mm. What have you learned about courage and perseverance from your experience as a medical missionary?
My favorite word that I've prayed for in my life is resiliency over those 32 years, and to pray that God would help me to be faithful to what He called me to do does require some courage at times. Sometimes facing down angry tribal leaders, or encouraging your fellow missionary family to unite. But God rewards anything, and He gives the courage. I think Satan uses fear many times to keep us back from doing everything he wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. You have any particular stories from the field? Over how many years was it? Tell our listeners.
A little over 32.
32. So you started in what year?
85.
A million years ago, especially when it comes to technology.
We were talking today, how we communicated with our families was either snail mail, or we would send a cassette tape back and forth. Uh-huh. And then what a dramatic thing it was when we could send a fax. And then, oh my, when we got internet.
And now you have WhatsApp, I'm guessing. Yeah. You can talk to your son. And speaking of your son, the next generation, Ben and his wife, Catherine, you're married to a Kathy, and he married a Kathy. I've read the story. Tell our listeners how both Ben and Kathy got into medical school.
Well, they were both in my medical missions class on a furlough that I taught at the university where they went to school. And she was actually still in high school taking college classes. So that was a tremendous opportunity to speak what God had taught me about medical missions. Then they fell in love there at school, and Ben was 1 year ahead. He had applied. He had actually got accepted by one school, and I said, "You got to go." And he said, "But that's not really the one I want to go to." Mm-hmm. So he waited. Mm-hmm. And the next year, his wife was the first one to get the interview to the place. It was Wright State University. And he just took her in his jeans and T-shirt and sat in the parking lot. And the lady that was interviewing his wife, Catherine, said, "I recognize your last name. Has anyone ever gone to medical school?" She said, "No, but my husband wanted to last year and interviewed here." And the lady got up from her desk, went and pulled his chart and looked it over and said, "I don't know why we didn't accept him."
Wow.
And she said to Catherine, "Is your husband here?" She said, "Yeah, he's outside. Could he come for an interview? He's got jeans and a T-shirt on." She said, "Doesn't matter." They pulled him up. They interviewed both of them the same day. And dramatically, they told them right there, "This is the first time we've ever accepted a husband and wife together." And God helped them to get through. The Ernie Story Scholarship was a tremendous blessing for them.
Wow, praise God.
They did their training in Columbus. She is family doctor. He is general surgery. And then they came to us with the World Medical Mission post-residency program. So it was a tremendous answer to prayer for him to get in. When he was a young man in high school, he actually told God, he said, "It's okay, I'm willing to be a Christian and to follow you, but I don't want to be a missionary, and I certainly don't want to be a doctor." So God has a sense of humor, I guess.
If you want to make him laugh, tell him your plans.
Yeah.
So must make you just amazed at the providence of God and God's plan to have your son now there working at Kujip Nazarene Hospital and having taken your place, and from having read some things you've written about him, that he's a very good surgeon.
He is. When he came to me as a fourth-year resident, I only switched sides of the table with him once the whole time he was there.
Mm, wow.
There was a difficult case, and it was, you know, I needed to take over. But so he was gifted. His residency director told me that and could see that. And his residency program, they bought in. They sent everything he would need to start laparoscopic surgery: new tables, anesthesia machines, laparoscopic equipment, brand spanking new, to the hospital so he could be fully equipped.
Where did he do his residency?
The same place I did a generation later. And some of the guys I trained with were now the staff members and said, "Yeah, we want to be a part of what he's doing." So
That didn't hurt his efforts, I'm guessing.
It was a wonderful experience and still continues the partnership.
How have things gone during the COVID-19 pandemic at Kujip?
At first, New Guinea was spared because it's so remote, not much traffic up there. They had a few cases early on. They locked down, but now it's hit with a full force. There's been a tremendous surge there. They have had to turn over the old lab to make it a COVID isolation ward and the old pediatric ward, and they are seeing lots of patients. We don't have an ICU or a ventilator other than the operating room, so we can offer oxygen and supportive care. Many people are getting better. There's a few that have died. When I talked to him last week, he said maybe a third of his staff has been infected, he thinks. Mm. And vaccines just arrived there this week. And so I got a picture this morning of my son getting his first COVID vaccine. And I was very glad to see that.
You bet. And have they done the whole PPE? Do they have that available?
We found at the beginning of the pandemic boxes and boxes of N95 masks that had been stored, not knowing when we would ever use them.
Wow.
So, you know, it's amazing how God sends things at times. I was going to tell the story when you asked me before about cases. 1 year I was getting ready to operate on a small child with Wilms tumor, and I told my scrub nurse, "Make sure I have some 2-0 silk suture to tie off the renal vessels," just something I like that's very vascular friendly. And she couldn't find any. We were just out of suture at that moment in time. She thought I would probably have to cancel the case. But the next morning, a box arrived from America, had been shipped months before. It arrives, and as she opens the box, on the very top is 2-0 silk suture. So we have seen how God supplies the needs in little ways like 2-0 suture and great big ways like laparoscopic equipment.
How about lights going out in the middle of the night during emergency? How many times did that happen to you?
All the time. And early on, I had to break scrub, go outside in back of the operating room, pull on the lawnmower type of generator, gasoline generator, get it started, tune it up, go scrub back in and finish the case. But we're a lot better now. We have a new hydroelectric dam, but there are still times where power is a problem.
Yeah. And access to blood, was that a big deal?
It was, especially early on, but we developed for elective surgery, like a major prostatectomy that uses blood. We would just wait until they got four family members to donate. And when they got four families, then we would schedule it. I have had times where I donated my blood so that I could do the surgery.
Do you have a hero, someone who's your hero in Scripture that you really like to model yourself after, Bible character that, you know, really has been a favorite of yours, and then also maybe a life's verse or passage of Scripture that has been with you throughout your career?
Well, I would like to be like Daniel. That's my middle name.
Okay.
In his courage and in his faithfulness to be what God called him to be. When I was in high school and went through a period of doubt, because I'd grown up in the church, and at one point I began to doubt, was that all true? And God led me through, I was actually depressed about it and asked God to reveal himself through Scripture. And the verse he gave me was a verse that has rung true the rest of my life from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. God said, "Let your conduct be without being covetous. Be content with such things as you have, for God himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And then down in verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever."
Amen.
And whether it was the middle of the night with a patient's life being lost and the power going out on a splenectomy right after I clamped the renal artery, or whether it was facing angry villagers who were fighting, Jesus was true to that verse. He never left us nor forsook us. And our last daughter just graduated last week from college, 6 kids, and God provided for their education in just amazing ways. Our last daughter, when she was born, she didn't breathe. And for several minutes, we were doing what we could, and I had the laryngoscope in my hand with the endotracheal tube when she finally took a breath. And that night I prayed and said, "Lord, I hope this isn't going to be a damaging event for her mentality." And she graduated with a 4.0 summa cum laude. Uh-huh. I said, "Praise the Lord."
Amen. Amen. Well, we've already talked about Ben, but, you know, we haven't talked at all about your soulmate. We haven't talked at all about your wife, Kathy. Tell us a little bit about Kathy and what role that she played over those 30-plus years overseas.
CMDA was critical in keeping us on the field, but my wife kept us on the field in so many ways. She loved on our national people. She would have them in our home. She ministered to the kids through children's clubs. She ministered to the women. We did marriage enrichment with our staff. She loved my operating staff and nursing staff. They could come and pray with her. When we were short-staffed, she would come down and circulate at night sometimes with me. She never had any training medically in the actual hospital other than medical dietetics, which she was trained for, but she could circulate. And she would bring a sweet presence of the Lord and a peacefulness. You know, she knew I wasn't going to get upset while she was there. So I think the staff loved having her come down.
Let her come.
She's a great hostess, kind of helped manage volunteers and get their houses ready and shop for them and make sure they've got picked up on time. And then raising our children, doing some homeschooling as part of that until we got a MK school established on the station. So she has been so faithful and so behind the scenes, yet such a faithful prayer partner and an encouragement to me. And those times where I was a little bit bent out of shape and thought about writing an angry email to the administration or something, she would say, "I think we won't send that yet, Jim. Let's pray about that and go to sleep, see how we feel about it in the morning." And she kept me on the field in a lot of ways. So precious.
I understand it. There's so many times when I, you know, as a medical director at Fenwick, I'd have some issues and I'd have an email all formulated and it always went to Pam.
Yeah.
"Please look this over. Take out this. Take out this." So my chief editor.
She was such a Christ-like spirit.
Dr. Radcliffe and your wife, Kathy, thank you for nearly four decades of bringing the hope and healing of Jesus Christ to the world through your faithfulness. God bless you as you go.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Jim and his wife, Kathy, they know very well the struggles of practicing healthcare in a developing country. But unfortunately, these challenges are not unique to their story. Being a missionary is a noble calling, but I can tell you it's a difficult one. Missionaries face many challenges, whether adjusting to a new culture, learning a brand new language, or guarding against many spiritual attacks. They need the support of the church and a faithful covering of prayer. But for many Christians, missionaries are just out of sight, out of mind. How can we effectively intercede for the missionaries that we have sent out and often are supporting financially? Eddie Byan provides a handy guide that's entitled "Praying for Your Missionary: How Prayers from Home Can Reach the Nations." This book offers ways to pray for the various needs that missionaries have on the mission field to prevent burnout and protect them from all kinds of harm. We can partner with our missionaries as individual intercessors and as sending churches. The fields are very ready to be harvested, Jesus told us. Your prayers for the workers and their ministry can make a difference today. You can get your own copy of this book, as well as many other titles that we've handpicked just for you as a healthcare professional, by going to cmda.org/store or by calling 888-230-2637 today. Well, there's a brand new book just released this month, written by OBGYN Dr. Patty Giebink, who joined me on CMDA Matters and told her story just a few weeks ago about coming to Christ and repenting for her work at Planned Parenthood. You can read her testimony in her new book, Unexpected Choice: An Abortion Doctor's Journey to Pro-Life. We've chosen to make this book our July Book of the Month. To receive your copy, just click our Book of the Month link in our show notes today, or go to cmda.org/bookofthemonth, one word, and make your donation of any amount to CMDA. We'll be happy to get that book in the mail to you right away. Well, in 2021, with an expanded public policy team, we have really focused this year on state public policy issues and bills. And this year, as of mid-year, already 75 bills have come to the attention of our state public policy team. And so here today to give us an update on state public policy is our Senior Vice President, Dr. Jeff Barrows.
Well, Mike, you're absolutely right. The state policy team was extremely busy throughout the first half of the year. However, several state legislatures have ended their 2021 sessions, though not without delivering multiple victories in the fight to protect life and to ensure health care right of conscience protections. For instance, in May, Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into law the Texas Heartbeat Bill, which will prohibit Texas abortions as early as 6 weeks. In Illinois, two bills that sought to repeal parental notice of their minor child seeking an abortion are dead this session. In Nevada, a physician-assisted suicide bill was defeated. Praise God. Their legislature will not convene again for another 2 years, so we will continue to work with our on-the-ground partners to defeat the likely reintroduction of a similar bill in 2023. In Ohio, Governor Mike DeWine approved health care right of conscience protections with the state's budget signed into law earlier this month. We thank our friends with Alliance Defending Freedom, the Catholic Medical Association, and others who worked with us to ensure this great victory. The Christian voice matters. As Christians, we can have a godly influence in shaping decisions made in our country's legislative processes. If you are interested in engaging in public policy, please email communications@cmda.org. Our CMDA advocacy team would love to invite you to participate in the important work they are doing to protect healthcare right of conscience and the sanctity of life. August 6th and 7th, here in our Bristol office, we will host the Voice of Christian Doctors Media Training, an intensive training on how to be an effective representative of ethical and biblically consistent healthcare in the public square. You will learn how to be interviewed by the media and make your voice heard in your state's legislature. You're running out of time to register. Just go to cmda.org/events or click the link in our show notes for more information.
Thanks, Jeff. I enjoy being a part of that advocacy training here, right here in Bristol, right here in this studio, and taking students, trainees, through a mock radio interview. It's actually one of the highlights of my year.
I'm looking forward to it this year.
Well, thanks for that update and for all that you and the A team, as I call it, the advocacy team, are doing both at the state and federal levels on behalf of Christian professionals, our members in healthcare all across the nation. Well, I'm sure you rejoice with me that the world is reopening to travel. So if you haven't already, let me encourage you to consider one of our CMDA's biblical tours. These are incredible times of spiritual growth and fellowship with other Christian healthcare professionals just like you. CMDA leads tours to Israel, to Greece, Turkey, and Italy. Each tour is filled with excellent Bible teaching by well-trained Christian tour guides. Many of those who travel with CMDA return for each one of these tours. For more information, you can visit cmda.org/tours. I promise that after walking where Jesus, Paul, and John walked, you'll never read the scriptures the same. Well, one of the most powerful mandates in all of scripture is in Matthew 28, when Jesus told his disciples, "Go into all the world and make disciples in all the ethnos," which our Bible translators have rendered as the nations. We know providing support and encouragement for healthcare missionaries, both here domestically at home and abroad, matters to so many of you who are listening today. Some of you listening blessed me big time over the course of a couple of decades of service in Kenya. And whenever my wife Pam and I traveled during homeland assignment across the United States with our kids, bringing the hope and healing of Christ to the world clearly matters to our Board of Trustees, our House of Representatives, and so many of the other healthcare organizations with whom we partner. And so it must matter to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to tune in next week as I had the opportunity to speak to Dr. Walt Larimore about his newest book, The Natural Medicine Handbook, The Truth About the Most Effective Herbs, Vitamins, and Supplements for Common Conditions. Let's make it a date next week, unless, of course, our Lord Jesus returns and takes us home. God bless.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.